If you have Facebook, Brother Kirby told me he heard a song that I wrote years ago called Invisible People, Helping the Homeless. And he heard that song and he said, Brother Dwayne, I've got to put that to video for you. And kind of into all that, you know, technical stuff and all that. So he did that. So he sent it and posted it on my Facebook page. And he posted it on his. So it's a video of this song that I wrote years ago. And this song was actually prophesied. Like it was, I was in Bible college. And this husband and wife team moved very prophetically in their ministry. And spoke directly to me, the man did. I didn't know these people. I had never met them before in my life. I got invited to the service. And they were there. And he is, you know, pointing people out all around me who I knew pretty well. And he is reading their mail, right? You know what I'm talking about. He's reading their mail very accurately. And I'm like, wow, how does this guy know this about them? And then he points at me and he says, and God said he wants to use you in film. And I'm like, I'm going, me? And he says, yeah, you. And I had no idea. I'm like, that wasn't even a desire in my heart. I didn't have anything. I didn't know anything about that or anything. And then there was some people who were contacted me and said that the Lord had showed them that I was supposed to write a theme song for a documentary that they were doing about those that they called the invisible people and the homeless people. And so I prayed about it. The Lord gave me the song. I wrote it. We had it recorded and all of that. And I actually had it professionally mastered and all that. And they used it. And the song actually won a couple of awards at two different film festivals. And so that was it. But then Brother Kirby heard the song and he said, man, I need to do this for you. Let's put this with some video and let's do it. So he did it. So just letting you know, I stuck it out there on my page. If you want to go watch it or listen to it, it's the Pastor Dwayne Daigle page. So, all right, well, I'm going to get into this teaching here. And I'm telling you this story about the video and about this song because it was 16 years after that prophetic word came to me before that door opened. And I didn't even know, I mean, I had no idea that how I would be involved in film in any way, but what I wasn't thinking was every film, every movie, all need theme songs, they need music, and I had been writing music for years. So here we go, you know, 16 years later, I had just told a man who operated in a prophetic gift, and I said, you know, I got this word 16 years ago. It never made sense to me. It still doesn't make sense to me, but I can't lose it. I can't, like, it just sticks with me. And he says, well, you never know. He said, this week somebody could call you. You could get a phone call this week and it'll all make sense. And about 2 days later, I get the phone call, you know. And so, anyway, I said all that to say that word took 16 years to fulfill. We're talking about weight. Training, W-A-I-T, training in God's gym. And so we started out a couple of weeks ago. We started out with James chapter 1, verse 2 through 5. And he says, count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds, for you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness. That word steadfastness means endurance, patience, perseverance. And then it says, and let steadfastness, endurance, patience, perseverance have its full effect that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given to him. Now, I've often quoted that scripture about wisdom, about pretty much anything when we need wisdom. But really, in its context, what he's talking about is wisdom to understand the value of patience and how that builds in your life and brings you to maturity. That word perfect means maturity. You know, if you never have to wait for anything, you will never come to maturity. So God will purposely allow us to wait for things that we want right now, so that we can come to maturity. If you have kids, you understand that if you always just give that kid whatever they want, whenever they want, you're going to spoil that kid rotten. Pastor Cindy made this statement, I don't know, probably a couple of years ago, the first time I heard her make this statement, but it dawned on her. She said, you know, for the most part, pretty much everybody that is, for instance, in prison, or Their biggest problem is they were probably impatient about something. So whether it's stealing because they were too impatient to earn it themselves, or they wanted something, or they were too impatient to let something good happen in their life, so they tried to force something. And patience, or a lack of it, is a problem for most people. And when you don't have it, you're going to live a very immature life. And can I tell you, impatience will bring you into addiction. Impatience will bring you into all kinds of immorality. Impatience will bring you into all kinds of destruction in your life. And so it's a big deal for us. And so while we're waiting, God's intention is that we are actually being built up. And so we're all going to be tested with it. There are still things today I'm still waiting on that I believe God spoke over my life and over this ministry. Still waiting. But you know what? We don't stop waiting, and we don't stop serving while we wait. All right? So, but we all hate waiting. Nobody likes to wait. We have proof of that. You can go anywhere you go, especially today. You go through a drive-thru of some kind, or you go to a grocery store. You get in line. We're always looking for the shortest line. Amen. Can I get a bigger amen? I'm always looking for the shorter line. And as I said last time, usually when God's trying to work on my patience, I'll get into the shortest line only for that short line to get stopped because somebody needs to call the manager, or they got to get a price check or whatever. And the long line I was in is just moving right on along. And I have been stupid enough at times to get impatient and get back in the other line just to get up close to the cash register, and somebody else needs a price check, or the manager, and now that line's moving along, right? So, but we don't, you know, if the microwave is taking too long, we get impatient. So, you know, we really lack, Americans lack a lot of character many times because we're simply impatient. Now, we talked again a couple of weeks ago about what I said, John Ashcroft, who his book really inspired me, and he talked about what's called delayed gratification. That, you know, people get in horrible debt and everything else because they don't practice delayed gratification. They have to have it all right now. And we have young people that are just in deep, deep debt. Some of them will never pay it off because they were impatient. Or else they go out and buy a house that they can't really afford and then end up losing it or something like that. Okay, those kind of things happen all the time. But if you practice delayed gratification, which means you're patient and you wait, and the more of that you practice now, the more you're going to enjoy life later. But we don't want to wait till later. So tell your neighbor, God's just supplying you with some weights to exercise your faith with. All right, so last week we said, what happens when we wait our way? Well, number one, we can lose God's perspective completely. Number two, we can become very negative. Number three, we said we can produce Ishmaels, which can lead to a lot more waiting, right? And I encourage you, if you haven't watched that message, you can go back and watch that on our Church of the Promise YouTube page. But tonight, what we really want to focus on is what happens when we do wait God's way. Well, I have several sub-points under that. Number one, waiting God's way produces a fulfilled hope. Let's look at Proverbs chapter 13, verse 12. It says, hope deferred or prolonged makes the heart sick, but a desire fulfilled is a tree of life. You know what he's really saying? He's saying, you know, when you got to wait and you got to wait and you got to wait, sometimes you want to get discouraged. I mean, it just, you know, literally the word courage comes from heart, taking heart. And so you get discouraged many times when you have to wait because it starts seeming like it's never going to happen. And, you know, and the thing is, we all know what it's like when you finally get that thing that you really wanted for a long time. How many of you have ever experienced that? Like you really wanted something for a long time and it finally happened. You remember the joy that you experienced. I mean, I almost can't believe it's real, right? And so that's what he says. A desire fulfilled is a tree of life. And I can tell you, the longer you have to wait for it, the more you're going to appreciate it. Many times when you get what you want, when you want it, you don't really appreciate it. You don't value it. But boy, when you've had to wait for it, you've had to labor, you appreciate it. So waiting should be a place of hopeful expectation. It's a place of exercising faith. You know, if everything always came right when you wanted it all the time, you have no need for faith. But when you have to wait, you're having to exercise that faith. And we all have things that we want, and they may be good things that we want. And when I say want, I'm not talking about just money or objects. I'm talking about things we want to see happen in our life or in the life of our loved ones and so on and so forth. But while you're waiting, it's exercising. If you keep saying what God says about the situation, no matter what it looks like, you're exercising your faith. You're building them muscles up. I mean, the more you have to use that faith, the stronger that faith is going to get. So let me give you some scriptures. Psalm chapter 25, verse 3. It says, indeed, none who wait for you shall be put to shame. It's talking about the Lord. None who wait for you shall be put to shame. They shall be ashamed who are wantonly treacherous. But if we wait for God, we won't be wantonly treacherous. And we'll never be put to shame. How many of you have ever done something, you were really impatient, you did something stupid because you were impatient, and now you had to be ashamed about it, right? We've all done it. So Psalm chapter 25, verse 5, lead me in your truth and teach me, for you are the God of my salvation. For you I wait all day long. You know what he's saying? Lord, because of who you are, because you lead me in truth, because you teach me, because you are the God of my salvation, you're worth waiting for. Now, how many of you ever had to wait for somebody all day long and you didn't appreciate it? You know, I had to wait for you all day long, right? But yet he's saying, I'm willing to. I wait for you all day long because of who you are. Psalm 25, 21, may integrity and uprightness preserve me, for I wait for you. What's the psalmist saying here? He's recognizing that in the wait, God is building up character, like integrity and uprightness. And those things preserve me. Why? Because I wait for you. Psalm chapter 119, verse 14. I'm giving you a lot of scripture because it's really his word that matters, not my word. All right? Psalm 119, 14 says, you are my hiding place. The King James says refuge and my shield. I hope. That word hope means I wait for your word. So it is a hopeful expectation while I'm waiting for that word to be fulfilled or even waiting to hear from him. There's a hopeful expectation that I am walking in. So again, Psalm chapter 130, verse 5, I wait for the Lord, my soul waits, and in his word I hope. And hope in the Bible is always defined as a sure expectation. Hope in the Bible is not like we use it, like, you know, I really hope this happens. Well, I really hope so. But we don't really think it's really going to. I really kind of hope. But biblical hope is, I know it's going to happen. It may be in the future, but I know it's going to happen. All right? So it's closely tied with faith. Faith is now, hope is future. So again, waiting should be a place of hopeful expectation. Number two, waiting God's way produces an unshakable life. Psalm chapter 62, verse 1 and 2. For God alone, my soul waits in silence. What? That in itself is a miracle. Because how many of you know when we are waiting and we have to wait a long time, we're usually not silent. We're usually complaining. Am I right? But he says, my soul waits in silence. From him comes my salvation. He alone is my rock and my salvation, my fortress. I shall not be greatly shaken. Because why? I've learned to wait. I've learned to trust God. How many of you know that typically what I'm saying when I am impatient about something that I'm expecting God to do in my life, if I'm impatient about it, what I'm really saying is I don't really trust that he's going to do it. And I certainly don't trust that even if he's going to do it, that he's going to do it at the right time, because the right time to me is right now. Amen. I told a story about when I was in college. I had to kind of learn a lesson here. I was sick. Yeah, I mean, sick as a dog. Couldn't get out of the bed. And I remember praying and, you know, and saying, God, Lord, I know what your word says about healing. And that was built into me. I grew up in a church that taught it. And Lord, I know you're the healer. And I'm, you know, by your stripes, I was healed. And I'll never forget. I'm laying on my bed and I have a vision, an open vision. And in this open vision, me laying in my bed, I'm suddenly transported literally right before the throne of God. Now, I'm not saying that literally happened. I'm saying it's a vision. And I'm still laying on the bed, sick as a dog, and I'm laying there in front of the throne of God. And I'll never forget, I'm looking up. I'm laying on my stomach, and I'm looking up, and I literally see Jesus walk off of that throne. It's just super, super bright light. And Jesus walks out of that throne. And by the way, I knew it was the Father sitting on the throne. And I knew it was the power of the Holy Spirit shining around. And then Jesus walks out of that light. Kind of gave me a good picture of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit being together. And he walks out of that light. I'll never forget. And I'm looking at him. And he touches me on my head. And when he did, it's like somebody stuck 220 electricity to me. And literally, physically, even though I'm having a vision, when that happens, my whole body jumped, I mean, just jumped up out of that bed. This happened literally to me. I felt a power manifestation that touched me in that moment. And I remember telling him, I really did say this. I said, Lord, that hurt. I said, why did you hurt me? And he said, because I wanted you to know I touched you. I didn't want you to have any doubt that I touched you. And I'm like, great, I'm ready to get up out of this bed. But he continued to talk, and he said, you are healed, but you're not going to see the end result of that for another 2 days. And I remember thinking, that makes no sense to me. Because I don't want it right now. I am one miserable human being, and I know you touched me, but I got to wait 2 more days? And I remember the Lord telling me this. And at the time, again, it didn't make a lot of sense. But I remember him telling me, again, in this vision, he tells me, I said, why do I have to wait 2 more days? And he said, because I'm building your faith. That made no sense to me. And I began to reason with him. And I said, well, it would really build my faith if I got up out of this bed right now. That would really build my faith. And he says, no. Your faith is built when you have to wait for the answer. So what he showed me was, it's done, but now I have to wait. And I want to tell you, 2 more days, I'll never forget, because I was sick even that night before. I was so sick, I still couldn't get out of the bed. I mean, literally, my friends were having to tend to me. I mean, I couldn't do anything. And the next morning, I woke up, and I'm telling you, I felt like a new man. Every symptom that I had was gone. The only time I've ever felt even close to feeling that bad again was when I got COVID. But that's how I felt. Now, COVID wasn't around back then. It must have been some kind of flu or something. But I'm telling you, when I woke up that next morning, every symptom was gone. I had full strength. I had everything. I was perfectly healed, perfectly whole. And the Lord began to deal with me about that. You think faith is when it happens immediately all the time. I'm telling you that when I want to build your faith, I can't always do it immediately because your faith doesn't have an opportunity to be exercised. All right, so that was a lesson I had to learn, and I'm thankful for that because I've had to wait for a lot of things ever since then. A lot of times the waiting is accompanied by God's silence as well. Well, why is that? Well, many times the silence is simply because God knows he can just trust us, just like he knew he could trust Job. And one of the most profound things I've ever heard T.D. Jakes say, and I know some people don't care for T.D. Jakes. Some people say, well, he's this and he's that. That's not what I'm talking about. What I'm talking about right now is he said something that I thought was very profound one day. He said, people always want to see God working in their lives with his mighty right hand. And if they don't see that, they think he's not working at all. And he went on to say, but that's not the case. He's always working in your life. It just so happens right now he's using his left hand. So God's plan for waiting is a combination of being still and waiting patiently. Psalm chapter 37, verse 7. Be still. That word still means to rest, to lean, to lie on, to support yourself before or in the Lord, and wait. That means to look for, to hope, to expect patiently for Him. Be still and wait patiently for Him. And then he says, fret, which means to worry or have anxiety. Fret not yourselves over the one who prospers in his way, over the man who carries out evil practices. So what happens is we get our eyes off of the promise of God, and we get our eyes on you know, Joe Blow over here, whose everything seems to be going good for him, and we know that he's just as wicked as could be, right? And so what he's saying is, be still, lean in, rest on me, lie on me, lie on my word, support yourself with me and my word. That's what God's really saying. And he says, wait, just wait patiently and see what happens. That word patiently, by the way, is the word cool, K-H-O-O-L in Hebrew. Why don't you go ahead and tell your neighbor, you got to keep cool while you're using weights to exercise your faith. That word patiently or cool actually also carries with it a picture of writhing in pain. Imagine that. How many of you know waiting can seem painful? Don't stop expecting even in the middle of the pain, because in the middle of the pain, sometimes God does his greatest work. Meaningful pain can bring meaningful gain. We even know that in the natural, right? Bodybuilders always say that, no pain, no gain. Think of this. Think of the agony of waiting that Martha and Mary had to have endured after sending word to Jesus. And they know Jesus loves Lazarus. They know that, you know, they're very, very close. He loves Lazarus. Lazarus is sick. They send word to him, and Jesus waits two more days before leaving where he was to go to them. Imagine the agony of waiting. Because, again, they know Jesus can do something about it. Why is he waiting? Why don't you know, we all know that Jesus can do something about our situation, whatever it is. Why is he waiting? He waits two more days. That had to be agonizing. That had to feel painful to them. But he knew something they didn't know, right? So as we are silently trusting God, he may be silently doing something that we can't perceive because we don't see the big picture. See, they thought it would be really awesome for him to come and heal Lazarus. They had no idea he's going to wait until he's stinking and then raise him up from the grave, right? And have a testimony that would way more impacting than just healing him, right? Because Jesus had healed lots of people, but now he's going to raise him from the dead. So the waiting was just a setup for the undeniable miraculous to happen. Let me give you another one. Waiting God's way produces a greater desire for God. Isaiah chapter 26, verse 8 and 9. In the path of your judgments, O Lord, we wait for you. Your name and remembrance are the desire of our soul. My soul yearns for you in the night. My spirit within me earnestly seeks you. For when your judgments are in the earth, the inhabitants of the world learn righteousness. So what are we talking about? Waiting God's way produces a greater desire for God. Again, I've dealt with many, many people like this that if they're not having to wait, if they're not having to press in, then they really don't know or understand their true need for God. I mean, when everything comes easy, I mean, I've had people tell me this, I don't need God. I got a good life. I have all the money I want. I have all the women I want, I have all the fun I want, I don't need God, until all that's taken away from them. And then they realize they need God, right? And so sometimes it's that it's going through those trials and it is somewhat of a trial to have to wait for something that you desperately want in your life, and yet God wants you to get to the point where you desire Him more than you desire the thing. All right, number four, waiting God's way produces a greater trusting of his timing. Now, I want y'all to understand, I realize that everybody in this room is probably already extremely patient all the time. All right, so you probably don't need this, but I'm thinking it might be somebody you might know that might need something like this. And then you'll know what to tell them. Waiting God's way produces a greater trust of his timing. God always seems to take us to the edge. Anybody discover that? He always seems to take you to the edge. Our wait many times can seem absolutely unbearable until afterwards. God, if this don't happen right now, I don't think I'm going to make it. And it seems absolutely unbearable. Because, see, afterwards we see the wisdom of the timing. And then it all makes sense. And we say, how many of you have ever said, why was I so worried about that? Why did I think this was going to destroy me? God knows better than we do. Now, there is wisdom in the timing. There are two types of time. Let me give you this. Two types of time. Number one, there is chronos. Chronos is a space in time like a point on a number line. So that's where we get the word chronological. We say something is in chronological order, right? It is a space in time like a point on a number line. Matthew chapter 2, verse 7. It says, then Herod summoned the wise men secretly and ascertained from them what time, this is the word chronos or chronos, what time the star had appeared. So again, it is a specific point in time on a number line. Then there's a second one, kairos. Kairos means a set or a proper time, an opportunity, a due season, a due time. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 6, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God. By the way, waiting has a lot to do with not just building patience, but building humility. When you realize you yourself in your own nature and natural giftings cannot make it happen. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that at the proper time, the kairos, he may exalt you. It doesn't just mean a time in a number line. It means a opportunity. It's the best time for something to happen. It's the most fruitful time for something to happen. It means it's your due season. That's why when the scripture tells us in Galatians chapter 6, verse 8, it said, let us not grow weary in doing good, for in due season, that word due season is the word kairos. It's actually the two words, or the one word, kairos. We will reap if we do not give up. Now, again, how many of you, I mean, I've had this temptation, I'm assuming maybe you have too, where you just get tired. Anybody ever said, you know what, what's the use? I've been doing this, you know, how many of you have ever helped people, like spent a lot of time just helping people, pouring out to people, doing stuff to try to bless people or whatever, and it just seems like it never makes a difference. They just take you for granted. They just, you know, in fact, many times they're never going to be grateful. They're just going to continue doing what they're going to do. And you say, what is the use? Why would I even continue to do this? And God says, well, because I told you to. I tell a story about that time when early on in the ministry, and I was like a kindergartner with a big pencil. I wasn't writing normal, and I had my piece of paper sitting on my desk, and I was upset about something and feeling like, man, these people don't even listen. They couldn't care less about the Word of God, and boy, I'm just going on and on and on. And I think it was right after a rabbit festival, right, where people going out and get sloppy drunk and act like fools, and some of them from our church. And I remember I was so upset, and I was mad, and I quit. I had enough. I'm not doing it anymore. I quit. And I sat down with my piece of paper, and I had that pencil in my hand like this, and I wrote in big letters on that paper, I quit. I'll never forget. I wrote that, and the moment I wrote it, the phone rings. And it's Pastor Wesley Berry. He's the pastor that I worked under in Oklahoma before coming here. And it's him. He never called on a Sunday morning like that. And he just says, Dwayne Daigle, yes, this is Wesley Berry. Yes? Did God send you to Highway? Yes, sir. Did God tell you to leave? No, sir. then don't you dare quit. And then he hung the phone up on me. I'm like, how in the world? And then I'm like, oh, now I really do have to write a message. I was going to just stand up and hold my I quit paper up. I was going to show them people. Let us not grow weary in doing good. You know, do good whether people receive it or not. Do good whether you see fruit of it or not. Just do good because this is what the Lord told you to do. But if you continue, there is a due season coming. There is a kairos coming, and we will reap if we don't give up.
That's right.
Well, how many of you know he's having to tell us that because he knows we want to give up when things don't happen when we want them to happen? But anybody knows that when you plant seeds, you don't get a watermelon the next day.
No.
So how many of you been waiting a long time for God to do something in your life?
Yeah.
I think, and if not, then you need to go ask God, begin to ask God what he wants to do in your life so he can give you something to wait on.
Mm-hmm.
Amen? Now let me ask you this. If you have been waiting, have you been waiting your way or have you been waiting God's way? I posted something the other day on my Facebook page that, you know, your way doesn't rule. Yahweh rules.
Yes, that's right.
Amen? Say, who is Yahweh? Well, that's just one of the names of God. All right. So we usually want to give God the full instructions on how he needs to deal with us. Can I get a bigger amen? I've heard it said that most people want to serve God, but only as advisors. Corrie Ten Boom said this. How many of you know who Corrie Ten Boom is, right? She was a survivor from one of the death camps in Nazi Germany, or it wasn't in Germany, but when the Nazis were trying to take over. She said, don't bother to give God instructions, just report for duty. You know, that's good advice. The apostles had to wait 10 days after Jesus had ascended before they had received the Holy Spirit in the upper room. You remember he told them what I want you to do. I want you to go in and preach to the whole world. But before you do that, I want you to go wait in that room.
Yeah.
Because I'm going to send the comfort. I'm going to send the Holy Spirit to you. But don't do anything. Well, you know, why didn't he just go ahead and send them the next day? Because there's something about waiting for that good thing to come. 10 days. Joseph's journey, when you read Joseph, you find out that his journey from the pit to the palace took right around 13 years. Before that promise was fulfilled for him. David had to wait between 15 and 18 years before he became king of Israel, after he was actually chosen by God and anointed to be the king. He had to wait that long. Abraham had to wait 25 years for the birth of his son Isaac. 25 years. We were talking about the other day in the men's Bible study. I didn't know exactly how long, but 25 years. Is what he had to wait. God gives him a promise, and 25 years later, he already was an old man. Even then, like, it was an impossible promise even then, but now he's going to have to wait 25 years? Jesus himself, and by the way, Abraham gives us a great example of what not to do when they created an Ishmael, right? Jesus himself had to wait until he was 30 years old before he could start his ministry. This is Jesus himself. God even put a limitation on himself. Isn't that something? Moses was in the backside of the desert for 40 years. And he was 80 years old before he was sent by God to rescue the children of Israel from the Egyptians. Then once he gets there, he's got to wait because of old stubborn Pharaoh not wanting to turn them Israelites loose. All right? And then they have to wander around. And in the desert, in the wilderness, you know, for 40 years. And they're, you know, God had already told them about the promised land, but they weren't ready. So there was a lot of waiting that had to be done. Then the Israelites, literally, as far as Egypt is concerned, they had to wait for 430 years before God delivered them from the Egyptians. How many of you know that's a long time? Well, waiting is not typically for punishment. Waiting is mainly for preparation. We don't always get that, and we don't always like that. But if you're not prepared, you're going to destroy yourself. So waiting for God, by the way, doesn't mean sitting around doing nothing. It means doing what we can, while we can, the best we can, while always being careful not to run ahead of God. You know, another picture about waiting is we use the same word for serving, right? When you go to a restaurant, typically the term waiter, the waiter is the one who is actually serving. And when we use the term waiting on someone, we're serving that someone. So within that waiting period, there should be a lot of serving. And we got to stop waiting for our ship to come in. How about let's help somebody else get their ship in? Right? While we're waiting for our promise to be fulfilled, why don't we serve somebody, serve others other than ourselves, and in preparation for us to be able to have the right character when ours does come? Why do we get upset when somebody else seemingly gets blessed before us? Why not rejoice for them? Because great will your joy be when yours comes. And if I can't rejoice for somebody else being blessed before I got blessed, now I know why I'm having to wait. Because God's still trying to build something in me. Amen? Waiting on God's future blessings, again, it doesn't give us license to do nothing. Here's the thing that I've had to try to live by. You have to ask yourself the question, what was the last thing God told you to do? Have you done it at all? Or did you start doing it and quit doing it because you got tired of waiting for the next thing? What was the last thing God told you to do? Well, the key is keep doing that until God tells you to do something different. But there's always doing involved in waiting. Yes. Amen? We're not doing it to try to earn God's favor. We're simply doing it because we have God's favor. Keep doing that till God tells you to do something different. But I will tell you this, if you're not waiting God's way, you're wasting precious time and opportunity. If you're not waiting God's way, you are not living up to what God assigned for you and has ordained for you to have and to be. The waiting is just as important as the receiving. Amen. Now, I don't like it. I don't like it. I ain't gonna lie. I don't like it, but I understand it is the best thing for me. We often say, you know, when we ask for patience, you need to make sure that you really do want it, because the only way for it to happen is you're going to have situations where you're going to need it. Same way with faith. God, build my faith. Well, he's going to allow you to have a situation where you're going to have to exercise your faith. All right. And so I don't want to scare you. Say, I don't want my faith built then. I don't want all that. But if you don't have those things operating in your life, you will never live in the supernatural life that God has called you to live in and see supernatural power come from your life that's going to make an impact on this world around you, including your family, your parents, your children, your siblings, or whoever. It's worth it. It's worth it. Ultimately, what we're talking about, anything that God has for us, it is worth the wait. You know, when people talk about something good, they often will say when they get it, it was worth the wait. Amen? And I believe you're going to be saying it was worth the wait about the things of God. All right. So listen, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to pray that God will give you lots of opportunities to learn patience. How about anybody up for that? Ain't nobody raising their hands, I noticed. No, here's the thing. Here's the thing I know about God. I don't even have to ask him to do that for you. He's going to do that for you already. But what I am going to ask is for his help and his grace to help us through the waiting. Amen. Now, here's the scary thing for me. I have to be first partaker of anything that comes out of my mouth behind this pulpit. So I have to already prepare myself for some frustration and some, you know, having to exercise patience and all that kind of stuff and keep the right attitude while I'm walking through it. A God-honoring attitude, right? And you're going to need the same thing. But I understand, listen, I'm not throwing anything on anybody. I'm going to have to walk in it too. So don't be surprised that this week you're going to experience some things that are going to help you in your walk to get patience. It's going to happen. Just mark it. It's going to happen. But by the grace of God, you'll be able to do it. Now, Father, I thank you for these people here tonight. I believe that everyone is here for a reason. You appointed them to be here in this moment to hear this word. Now, Father, I thank you that we don't have to fear. We don't have to worry about the things that we may have to walk through or experience, because we know that you are with us, God. You're with us through every situation. But, Father, I'm praying for a supernatural grace, Lord, in our lives to be able to walk this thing out. We don't want to just talk about patience. We want to have it. We don't want to just talk about humility. We want to have it. Lord, we want your fruit in our lives. Lord, we know that we desperately need your fruit, the fruit of the Spirit in our lives, Lord, because that is what reflects your glory in us. So I thank you, Father, that even though we will have to walk through things, we will have to exercise faith. We will have to exercise patience. I thank you, Father, that it will be worth the wait. It will be worth it when we get to the other side. And I thank you, Father, for all the opportunities you give us to work out with those weights. In Jesus' name, thank you, Father. Amen.